From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, August 5th, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking. Celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins says she'll vote to oppose President Donald Trump's choice to lead the U.S. Justice Department. Steve Missler has more.
Collins said in a statement released Tuesday night that Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche has taken several steps to undermine the department's independence. Among them, creating an immunity order to shield Trump and his sons from IRS audits, another to create a taxpayer-funded mechanism to compensate the president's political allies, and also attempting to indict two Democratic senators for constitutionally protected speech. It was unclear Wednesday if Collins's opposition would be enough to sink Blanche's confirmation, as several other Republicans had not yet said how they'll vote. Trump has previously indicated that he's willing to withdraw Blanche's nomination and keep him as acting AG, bypassing Senate approval. The announcement comes as Collins is engaged in a difficult re-election fight against Democrat Troy Jackson, who is trying to tie her to Trump in a state where he's deeply unpopular. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Over 100 Maine Medical Center nurses and supporters rallied in Portland Wednesday, demanding the release of a colleague arrested by ICE last week. Ari Snyder has more.
According to the nurses' union, registered nurse Deborah Capicia was arrested by ICE on July 30th at Boston's Logan Airport. The union says Capicia, originally from Zambia, is seeking asylum and has legal work authorization. Nurse and union co-president Kelly Brennan says the arrest undercuts the Trump administration's own justification for its mass deportation agenda.
This is not about safety. This is not about border security. It is about stripping our friends and neighbors of their dignity, their safety, and any ability they have to comfortably live their lives.
A Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said in an email Wednesday that Capicia had overstayed a visa. Maine Health said in a statement Wednesday that all employees are vetted to assure they have legal authorization to live and work in the U.S. and that it's seeking more information from the state's congressional delegation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A pregnant mother from Lincoln County is asking a court to intervene to stop the closure of a birthing unit at Lincoln Hospital. In her lawsuit, Corinna Stumm alleges that MaineHealth has failed to conduct a transparent and fair review of maternity services at the Damariscotta Hospital. Her attorney, Michael Vanderveen, says eliminating maternity services is also a violation of the healthcare system's legal obligation as a nonprofit.
We're alleging that they get federal and state funds, and they told the feds and they told Maine that they were going to do something with those funds, and now they're changing it. And they're not providing an absolute critical service that my client needs.
Maine Health announced this spring it was assessing the birthing unit because of low birth rates and staffing challenges. Its board will vote on whether to end the service Thursday. The Lewiston City Council this week approved $200,000 for police overtime in an effort to curb an increase in youth violence. City Administrator Brian Kenrath announced the new initiative last week after hearing concerns from residents. There have been 20 shooting incidents in Lewiston so far this year, and more than half involved a juvenile. Kenrath told the council, increasing police presence is just the first step.
Please understand this is the beginning, not the end, of us coming before you with proposals to address what I think is the number one challenge facing us in the city of Lewiston. We will have more coming forward talking about engagement with our youth, rec programming, and prevention, among other things. It has to be a global, all-encompassing strategy.
Kenrath says the money will allow officers to increase foot and bike patrols on city streets. The school bus driver that struck and killed a 12-year-old student in Rockland last November will not serve jail time under a new plea agreement reached with the state. According to the Midcoast Villager, the manslaughter charge against 65-year-old Jeffrey Colburn will be dropped in exchange for a civil charge of a motor vehicle violation that resulted in a death following a judicial settlement conference on Monday. Colburn pleaded not guilty at his indictment in January. A formal change of plea hearing is scheduled for August 11th. The Landing School of Boat Building and Design in Arundel is closing its doors after nearly 50 years. The school's Board of Trustees says that declining enrollment and financial pressures led to the decision. The school will provide a full refund of deposits to the 17 students enrolled for the coming year. The decision affects about a dozen faculty and staff members. School President John Caron says he hopes the school will be celebrated for its contributions to the marine industry. It was a lofty goal at the time, build more roads, bridges, and affordable housing using American-made construction materials. The Build America, Buy America Act, passed by Congress 5 years ago, was seen as a way to support the domestic manufacturing industry. But as Nicole Ogresko reports, the rules are a major headache for housing developers at a time when Maine is scrambling to fill a gap of much-needed affordable homes.
In downtown Biddeford, Tyler Norad stands on an abandoned lot in the city's historic mill district. The pavement is cracked and it's overgrown with weeds. Norad is the president of Westbrook Housing Development Corporation, which builds affordable apartments. He was hoping to break ground this month on a few dozen units planned for this site, but he says new federal requirements have brought the project to a standstill.
Right now, we would be lucky to break ground, if we can even break ground at all, by the end of the year, and more likely into 2027.
Norad says that's because the Build America, Buy America mandate requires affordable housing developers who receive funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to source 95% of their construction materials from domestic manufacturers.
I've never seen anything quite as disruptive to this industry.
There are roughly 1,500 different components that go into a multifamily apartment building. Housing developers must track and confirm the origin of each one. Laura Reading says it's painstaking work, and it's expensive.
Construction prices generally seem to be going up 10 to 15% for sourcing a U.S.-made product versus, you know, a foreign product.
Reading is developing 60 new affordable apartments with a ground floor childcare facility in Portland. She says some components are just not made in the United States at all.
Door hardware, a little bit of elevators. We've ended up finding one that is compliant.
But she says finding an American-made energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system has been nearly impossible. So last fall, she asked the federal government for a waiver to allow her to use a foreign-made HVAC system that's similar to one approved in other projects around the country. And then they waited.
There's this desperate need for affordable housing. And so, you know, the longer that that gets put off, the longer, you know, these families are experiencing, you know, some form of housing instability.
After 8 months, the federal government approved the waiver, but other projects remain in limbo. And in fact, no builder in Maine that's subject to the Build America requirements has been able to start construction. Reading says her team is now sprinting to tie up loose ends and secure their loans and financing from the state. She's hoping to break ground by September. Like Reading, Norad is also waiting for a waiver from the federal government for an HVAC system. And he's worried about further delays.
If I'm in the middle of construction and all of a sudden there's a supply chain disruption or the manufacturer who promised a certain product can no longer deliver it because they're no longer in compliance because they got a screw from Mexico instead of from Alabama, what do I do? I can't stop construction and I can't wait 6 to 8 months for a waiver.
Norad and other builders have shared their concerns with the Trump administration. A bill in Congress that would exempt affordable housing projects from the Buy America requirements has yet to gain traction. Laura Mitchell of the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says the best solution would be for the Trump administration to temporarily lift the mandate for these housing projects so the federal government can identify what products American manufacturers are realistically able to produce.
We also, in the short term, need waivers to be approved within 30 to 60 days, not 8 months.
Despite the delays and extra costs, NORAD says his nonprofit will continue to develop affordable housing. But he believes the Build America challenges could deter others from getting into affordable housing development at all.
I'm just hoping that the folks in D.C. will listen to us on the ground that are just trying to do what everyone right now is asking of us, which is to build more housing that Americans can afford.
The Trump administration did not respond to multiple requests for comment about why waivers are taking months to approve and whether it supports any changes to the requirements for affordable housing developers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition tomorrow, starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.